Right now, our weekly visit with Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville. Teresa, hope you have a great week so far, and as always, welcome back.
Well, my week could always be better, but when you talk to Anthony, tell him Teresa says hi.
I will be glad to.
Remember him from when he worked here.
Anthony, one of the good guys in the business. I'll just leave it at that. And,
Absolutely. You
know, he does an outstanding job just like you. And, oh, by the way, Teresa, three-time Sports Writer of the Year in the state of Tennessee, Hall of Famer as well. And it's always an honor having you on.
Well, when you put it like that, how could I not come on, right, Johnny?
Hey, so earlier today, you know, it's interesting because, you know, there were a lot of rules being voted on today in this conference call by the NFL teams, and they decided to table one that I really wanted to get past, and that is a change in adapting a different variety of an option there if you were trying the onside kick, where teams would have up to twice in a contest be able to take the ball and be in a 4th and 15 situation from their own 25-yard line, and if they convert, they continue with the ball. But then it got into the part, is it a timed down, untimed down? How does it impact it if there was a penalty prior to that on the extra point that applies to the kickoff? And as more questions came up, it got to the point where they decided to table that idea.
And it's a shame because I like the idea. I mean, you look at the stats, and over the last two seasons, since the taking away the running start, conversions of onside kicks have gone way down. And I may have been Judy Batista who shared the stat. I could be wrong that, they looked at conversions of 4th and 15 in similar situations. Teams convert 26% of those as opposed to, 10. And the reason the running start made, not having that made such a difference is, it creates more chaos. You can take a guy's eyes away. If you're worried about being hit, having the snot knocked out of you, you're going to take your eye off the ball for a nanosecond that could help the other team recover the ball. We've seen plenty of those over the years, but, their safety, trying to limit concussions. That's what happens when you have guys running at each other, especially guys who are trying to stand and, catch a bouncing ball, it's concussions. And I like the idea of putting the ball in your offense, in your best player's hands, and giving them a chance. I mean, some of this stuff I think the NFL will be able to work through, and, who knows, maybe it comes down to, we've got enough on our plate this year. Let's just work out a few things because let's face it. If there's not time left on the clock, you wouldn't have been able to run an onside kick anyway. And there are rules already that if there is a penalty on the extra point, there's a rule inside the final 2 minutes. If there's a penalty on the offense in the final 2 minutes, there's a 10-second runoff, or you use a timeout to save that. So, I mean, they've got some ways they can work through this. It just seems that maybe some NFL people are, going to need to ponder on this. The NFL doesn't always make change quickly, and sometimes they have to, look at it from all sides around. But I'll say this. Somebody, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Ryan Tannehill, you name it, having the ball 4th and 15 at their own 25, that one tweet I saw is that they were afraid it'd be too easy to have some comebacks in these situations. So, but you know what that means? That means it's going to be more fun, and you're going to have people tuning in.
It's excitement.
Viewership. Exactly. And more TV viewers at the end of games. Oh, could you imagine what that would be for Red Zone on a game day? Boom, 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 boom. That means more money. So it just feels like this is something that in some form or fashion is going to be coming down the pike. But at this point, Johnny, it's going to be later.
And here's a history lesson. I mean, one of the reasons why the NFL became more fun anyway was because of when you had the Upstart League in the AFL and all of a sudden you had the millenniums of the yesterday, you're getting so excited with all these offenses with the Jets and Joe Namath and Oakland and all that. As far as on the AFC side of things, it opened up the entire NFL. And I don't know which came first today on the agenda, but, this kind of comes down to that thing about which came first, the chicken or the egg. Maybe one of the reasons why they didn't want to move forward just yet with all these questions coming up, because one of the things they did vote on, remember the Patriots last year and Bill Belichick, which, by the way, Mike Vrabel and the Titans were able to use to their advantage in that playoff game, was being able to run excessive time off the clock by committing multiple dead ball fouls, Will they close that loophole? And maybe it's one of these things with all these questions coming up, instead of passing it and then closing loopholes next year, decide to figure it all out so they would never have to worry about loopholes.
And that is a good thing. I mean, as much as we'd like to see the change now, it is better to look at it from all sides of the issue, because guess what? The loophole they closed with that, they didn't realize it was a loophole until it started being exploited by, you know, Belichick and Vrabel. So, you can call it whatever rule you want to, but, now they've checked it, so to speak. And, that's what happens. I mean, that's, coaches pore over the rule books and find things. And remember, it wasn't too long ago that people were questioning, just how good a coach Mike Vrabel was. And when you out Belichick at his own game using the NFL rule book against him, that tells me that you can probably coach a teeny bit.
You know, since we still don't know exactly what the fall looks like as far as fans inside stadiums, is it going to be 100%, 50%, no percent? One of the things that they did authorize today for broadcasters to be able to air doubleheader games in markets, even if the local team is airing on another network for a single header, which basically means that this benefits, obviously, the NFL fan, because now they'll get at least three games to be aired every Sunday.
And more football is good, because one thing I think we are sure of is there's going to be more people at home wanting something to do, looking at, regardless of whether we're in a second wave or what. Yes, there's been all sorts of speculation. I know the Dolphins had a plan out, with the first out with a plan in the NFL on how to socially distant if need be. There's now been discussion of what would happen at Neyland this fall. So, I'll guarantee you this. All possibilities are being discussed so that you can have the A, B, D, C, and E plans for all sports this season. But, at a certain point, there's still going to be people at home. And if anything that we've seen from NASCAR's return, from the charity match on Sunday, when there's interesting stuff on TV, people will turn in to watch. And the one thing we know based on past ratings from this last season is people like watching the NFL. So if you give them more, that's not going to be a bad thing.
Teresa Walker with the Associated Press joining us. One of the ones I really wanted to get past, and maybe the problem and it didn't get passed was because, I don't know, maybe it came from the XFL and the NFL likes to do things their own way. And so it's not like it's permanently gone away. They are going to use it in the preseason, where maybe this becomes the foundation for 2021, the quote-unquote sky judge. I love that about the XFL, being able to have that much transparency when you're reviewing plays and you're hearing the communications. I just thought it from, once again, it benefits the fan. It makes it more interesting of a broadcast. They decide to table that as far as this year, but they are going to be able to do a little bit of experimentation as far as in the preseason.
And that's kind of what colleges do, especially in the basketball, in preseason games and things like that. They're testing out some rule changes to see how it actually affects the play on the field. So, it would be a big change for the NFL. So I don't have a problem, testing it, putting the foot in the water. And again, it's going to come down to the people that they put in those booths who are going to feel comfortable enough to look at a play on replay and say, okay, this is what was called on the field, but it isn't, or, it should be this, and, upholding things. They're going to have to be, activist kind of sky booth guys, when you put them in there. They can't be afraid to, they're going to have to be able to speak up and make their voice known, unlike what the NFL did with the whole pass interference rule. So when, there was, crickets on that whenever they had a chance to do something. So, testing it out in the preseason rather than going through the whole season gives them two things. Work out the kinks, like we're talking about those loophole things, and to find the right people to put in those roles. It's one thing to have a line judge. You've got to pick the right person. Do you go to somebody who's got experience being, a referee overseeing a crew? or, you know, do you get somebody who's been an alternate official, you know, in case of an injury situation? So, but, you know, there's several questions the NFL has to work through to make sure they get the right people for those jobs. Otherwise, they risk going into it and saying, oh, we're going to do this. And then in a few months, we're like, well, you didn't do anything with these guys. So, as much as I'd like to have that Sky Booth guy in there right now, because in college, we see it. I mean, the SEC's got it. Every play is being watched. They can buzz down and stop play to say, hey, I saw a thing, and you know, I'd like to see it in the NFL, but I don't have a problem with them maybe taking their time to do it right.
Yeah, I want to see it in the NFL and also want to see and hear the conversations going on. That's what I really want. Absolutely.
Oh, me too. I mean, we all would. That was the one thing about the XFL that we absolutely all liked. If you actually did a poll, I'm kind of betting that's the one thing you'd hear. That's the thing I saw on social media from their first couple of games. People love that aspect of the XFL.
And by the way, speaking of that, I was throwing this out a couple of weeks ago, you know, finding ways to make Monday Night Football interesting again like it used to be in its heyday in the first 20 years from the 70s to the 90s. And maybe a couple of things that the XFL was doing where only on the Monday night games you get some of the, because I want it to be more entertaining than just a football game, especially if the game is out of hand and especially if the announcers aren't any good. And so I love the fact that, once again, with the XFL, being able to interview players during the course of the game, just something, but only on Monday night games, which makes it, you know, must-see TV per se.
That is interesting, but knowing how much money is riding on each game, each play, I really can't see coaches signing off on that because,
no.
While guys might, we've seen, there was one year where there were a couple of Titans fighting for a spot on the heated bench late in an ugly season where they were out of the playoff hunt in December. Guess what? Usually coaches want them paying attention to the game on the field, listening to an assistant coach, maybe going over some pictures. Now the Surface tablet, talking to teammates, or at least focused on the game. Talking to a reporter, a sideline reporter, that might be a bridge too far.
Virtual offseason.
Peyton Manning into it, you'd fix it right there. That'd be the key.
Oh, good point.
He showed how great he showed why TV executives have been drooling about him with his on-course banter on Sunday. That was Peyton. He may have had somebody help him with a couple lines, but that was him in his element, trash-talking and gigging people. And, that's the reason why I think we'd all like to see him in a TV booth doing games sooner rather than later.
I don't think they would want Tony Romo in that situation, however, because the fact that he may be, giving away and giving some advice that could actually help a team as far as to get back in it if they're behind.
Well, if it's on the golf course, then whatever Tony tells them will be okay, because I think it's pretty obvious when you got a 20-footer for eagle or you have to hole out from the fairway for something. But when it comes to football, Tony already tells us what he thinks is coming, and as many people that love Tony, he has a few guys that aren't too happy with him either. So,
one of the things that came out today extended the extension of the virtual offseason through mid-June. As far as according to Roger Goodell, the league hopes to have the coaches back into the team facilities by the end of next week. And right now, it's still out there, the possibility that the players will be able to return before the June 26 time period, but that's still up in the air. But right now, we do know the virtual off season extended through mid June.
And Taylor Lewan was on a call with local reporters. Caveat: I was not on the call. I've been dealing with a little bit of an allergic reaction this week, so I was not on the call. But what he did say was he would like to be back, if that's possible. So. But again, we'll wait and see. I think that every team could benefit from having the guys in the building for at least a few days. And the benefit that you have if the NFL is able to get players back in the building, even if it's for a mini camp at the final week of the offseason program, what that allows is rookies to get in the building and find out where the meeting rooms are, where the locker room is, where the weight room is, trainer room. So, that would be helpful, if we're able to have training camp start, as we hope, at the end of July. And it would also, these new players could, meet their, in person. Zoom calls are one thing, but, to see your position coach, to see the teammates that you're going to be lining up next to, that would be a huge benefit as well. So, But we'll see. I mean, you know, look, this is the second time the NFL has extended the virtual offseason program. So it's a big step to have, you know, allow them to get coaches back into the building. I just say this, wait and see if players follow. And
how tough, is it going to be for Derrick Henry and his reps to work out a deal as far as long-term with the Titans, especially when look, Derrick Henry led the NFL in rushing last year. We get that. But, you know, you can't look at Derrick Henry and look at, say, Christian McCaffrey, who does it with his legs, and he also is a dual threat with catching balls out of the backfield. And although Derrick Henry's folks are going to say, we deserve that kind of money, I'm sure the Titans are going to argue just the opposite. Because of that, is there going to be a happy medium for the two parties?
I do think there's going to be a happy medium, but here's the thing. There's an area, a caveat that hasn't been mentioned, Johnny. It's not so much the on-field production and, you know, the fact that he doesn't catch balls like Christian McCaffrey. It's the fact that the NFL had been hoping to get a new TV contract negotiated, you know, by the beginning of the season, certainly by the start of the next new league year in March. And with this pandemic, it's put an asterisk, a question mark on everything. You know, how is it going to affect the salary cap for next year? You know, if there are no fans in the stands, or if it's, you know, social distancing limits and you've got 10,000 for, you know, per game, things like
right.
that. You know, the revenue totals are about to be affected. So at this point, you know, if you're Derrick Henry, do you just play out the franchise tag and it's like, listen, let's talk again in March and see where everything's at? Or if the Titans make an offer, you know, you say, I'll take it, because again, there's, you know, the Titans have a chance to lock in some cost certainty, but you know, how it affects the salary cap, no one knows. You know, at this point, getting a deal done is smart for both sides, because it at least takes one question mark off the field and allows you to focus on dealing with, you know, what there's plenty of other issues on the table right now. So at this point, I'd be more inclined to get a deal done, because I just don't know what the next year and a half is going to bring for the NFL.
The longer we wait, does it work against the Cam Newtons, the Blake Bortles, the Jadeveon Clowneys of the world? Like Clowney, for example, I don't know who the Titans, for example, are really truly competing with. Now, you hear like the Jets being thrown into the mix, but are the Jets really interested, and at what price? It makes you wonder. Now, you only need one to all of a sudden get into a bidding war. But if you're, you know, going up against yourself and nobody really has a 100% interest in, say, Clowney at the kind of price tag you're looking for, then the longer you wait, if you're the Titans, the better opportunity to get a Jadeveon Clowney at a reduced rate.
Well, I saw a report from my colleague in Cleveland that the Browns reportedly have made the highest offer to Jadeveon Clowney. So, but you know, here's the thing. It's easier for a defensive player like Clowney to wait and be patient and try to find his spot and be comfortable with what he chooses. You know, for Cam Newton and Blake Bortles, if you're a quarterback and you have any hope of competing for the starting job at the team you land at, well, time is a ticking and you're losing precious time learning the offense, learning the language, you know, finding out where a receiver likes to cut when, you know, and make the move in this particular route and things like that. Just the nuances of playing football with a new team. It's much tougher for a new quarterback to come in and fit in. You know, Ryan Tannehill really looked good coming off the bench in mid-October, but he was with this team from the very start of the offseason program.
Absolutely.
Last year. That allowed him to come in and be effective when needed. So, you know, but that's the thing. You know, Cam Newton, he's got to be able to travel and prove to a team, you know, a team doctor is going to have to check him out. Also going to have to probably check out Jadeveon Clowney. You know, he might say he feels good and he's working out, but I you know, if I'm the Titans, the Browns, the Jets, I want to have my doctors look at him and tell me what they think before I sign him to a multi-million dollar contract. So Clowney can wait. Quarterbacks, you know, they're watching that clock, and, you know, it's like Marissa Tomei is stomping her feet and my cousin Vinny. You know, it's getting louder and louder, and time is a wasteland.
That painted a nice visual right there. Loved that part of that movie and loved the movie as well. Hey, Teresa, thank you as always. Remind the listeners again the different ways to keep up with all your coverage.
Like my page on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter, both at Teresa M. Walker.
Thank you as always. Have a wonderful rest of the week. And guess what? We'll talk to you in June.
Sounds good. It's already here, isn't it?
Next week.
Thank you, Johnny.